Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. I think we have a really interesting local show today.
We do. We got. And this is close to my. I worked there for 16 years. We're going to talk about Yavapai College. People running for the Yavapai College Board, and that they did take community out of the name, or maybe it was never in there. We'll talk about that. But Yavapai College is. We have board members from our area, and we want to talk to them this morning.
So before we start, Mike, do you have an announcement here? We have a lot of announcements. The election is approaching us.
I got some killer announcements. The first announcement. Forget this League of Women Voters, although it's important. No, we won't say. We'll do the League of Women. This is your vote is your voice. The League of Women Voters want to say. They want to remind you that registering to vote is the first step to participating in our democracy. If you have changed your name or moved to a new address, you might need to re-register. Now is the time to get registered or verify your registration is current. You can visit vote411, that's VOTE411.org to get started. That's vote411.org. Registration deadline is October 9th. Vote411.org.
Let me underline the October 9th is the cutoff date for registering to vote. So if you want to register to vote, and you can do it online, you can do it in a dozen different ways, you can drop into an office and so forth and so on, you have to register by October 9th.
I think it's real important that it's not too late. You can still do that. Yeah. You can go to Service Arizona and get some things done, but the League of Women Voters recommend this. I think it's faster, smoother, and get you where you want to go. We also want to mention the Arizona Blue Wave Concert. The Arizona Blue Wave Concert at Main Stage in Cottonwood, right on the corner of Mingus and Main. We have 16 musical guests volunteering.
Oh, who's coming?
Ray DeSylvester. I saw him last night. We got Bill Bassett. We got Tommy Anderson. The list is, please check out our Facebook page. You have to put in Arizona Blue Wave Concert to find the Facebook page to see the 16 musicians that are coming.
So is this a concert to encourage blue waves, or what's this concert? what's the focus of the concert?
We are doing a fundraiser for the LD6 candidates, for our state representatives from our area. We sort of narrowed it to that. They sort of narrowed it to that. I have other people in the league. I have people that are doing this for me because I'm, you know, almost.
You're very lazy.
Completely incompetent and irrelevant.
We're used to it.
This is the biggest thing.
It's for the LD6 candidates.
LD6.
All of whom we've interviewed. They're really great candidates. This is the best bunch that the Democrats have had in decades.
And they will be there. Bobby Tyler will be there. He's running all the ads as rural as Arizona's rep. The current mayor of Holbrook. The only for Arizona's first black mayor. He kind of kept that down on the down low. Arizona's first black mayor, period. And he's the mayor of Holbrook, current mayor of Holbrook, and he's running for the House seat.
Get a chance to talk to Bobby, he's a really interesting guy, has great stories and stuff. I mean, and he's very approachable. If you go to the concert, you see Bobby, just go right up and start and introduce yourself, start talking to him.
There you go.
I think you'll find that he's extraordinarily available to you and will listen to what you have to say.
Felicia French will be there, the ex-helicopter medical person.
Commander of a helicopter squadron in Afghanistan.
Colonel in the Army. The Democrats have all these great candidates and we lose. You want to know what drives us crazy? Drives us crazy. Forget about this. I'm looking at Paul Chevalier. He's one of the guys we're going to be talking to in a minute. Forget about people mispronouncing our name. For all the years we've done this and we've been politically active, you get candidates like Felicia French. You get candidates like Bobby Tyler. You get candidates like Wade Carlisle for the Senate, running against Sylvia Allen. So these are the three candidates. Arizona Blue Wave Concert.
They're focused on supporting public education.
Yes, and they focus on supporting public education.
Well, do you have another announcement, or are we done?
I do. We've got one more biggie. This is another local. We got last week's show, we had Jim McCarthy and Al Camello running for the Sedona Fire Board. We have a Meet the Candidates for a night on Sunday, October 14th. McCarthy and Camello are doing a Meet the Candidates night. They're running for Sedona Fire District Governing Board. And we've mentioned during the show, who gives a fat crap about the Sedona Fire District Governing Board? Well, here we've had local politics, and we've had national politics come local. For whatever reason, we have some billionaire Tea Party people that want to influence and want to limit the budget of the Sedona Governing Board. I can't compute this level of craziness.
I think the thing for us, you know, is the fire board governs the fire district, which is much larger than the city of Sedona.
Let me just add that
it's extremely important, and both Al and Gene support a strong, active fire district with the best modern equipment. So, you know, if you're an older person, particularly, having a good EMS service is absolutely necessary to survival. We'll be talking to the fire chief in a couple of weeks just about what the district is, because there's a confusion about the size of it and the rest of it. Mike?
Well, and that's it. Like I said, ordinarily, Democratic Perspective wouldn't be covering at least Sedona Fire Board election quite this thoroughly. But because you have these, what I consider outside influences, for some reason, trying to get involved and limit both the Sedona budget with the crazy home rule thing that you survived, and now the fire board thing, which, why a billionaire cares about an extra $36 a year, and don't get me wrong, the Sedona.
That's how they became a billionaire, $36
I guess,
a year.
You know, what do I know?
Yeah, they're very old people, very, very, very old. So,
you know, the fear of irrelevance is my, you know, we're going to do a psychology show here.
Okay.
The fear of irrelevance for old billionaires must be really huge, bigger than it is for ex-retired teachers. But I want to get out. Sunday, October 14th, 3 to 5, they are going to be at Steve and Connie Segner's Ranch, up Oak Creek Canyon, beautiful place. I've been there. I'm going to give the address, 2975 Thompson Road in Oak Creek Canyon. Please carpool. There is not a lot. They're serving hot dogs, soft drinks, and beer.
Wow.
This is a good fire department function. They're serving beer.
Sounds
there.
Fire department-ish to me. There's no pancakes, but
October,
it is in the evening.
October 14th, 3 to 5, up Oak Creek Canyon at Steve and Connie Segner's place. 2575 Thompson Road in Oak Creek Canyon. There's an RSVP here at km11@gmail.com. KM11RSVP. Just show up. They'll love it. No problem.
Have we finished the announcement? It's taken like a half an hour to do the announcements today, but it is election time, and we hope everybody will register, whatever your party. And
there's a lot going on.
Yeah. So, shall we introduce our guests, Mike?
I think that would be a good
idea. Talk about what they're running for. They're running for the Yavapai College Governing Board. And there are, five districts in the governing board? So each candidate each member of the board covers a different district of the Verde Valley. And you folks are running, and we're going to introduce you to District 3, which is the district includes Sedona, Village of Oak Creek, and so forth and so on. Why don't we introduce the guests, Mike?
Let's start with ladies first. Dr. Connie Harris, what's up?
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Good.
Thank you.
Connie?
Tell us a little bit about yourself,
yeah.
Connie. Why? Two questions.
We'll wake Paul Chevalier up later.
We'll let him put it on later.
Tell us
a little bit about your background and why you want to be on the governing board, which I know it pays big bucks, but other than that.
That's
right. Voluntary. A little bit about myself. I have been here in this state since 1960. My family moved us here when I was a little one, and so my education began in the Valley of the Sun in Phoenix, and so I'm a product of Phoenix College, and then Arizona State University for a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, and then went to NAU and got another master's degree and got my doctorate from Arizona State University in educational leadership. And I share that with you because that was the background that helped me with my profession, which was teaching high school English for 10 years. And then I was in administration for 24 years as a high school assistant principal and then a principal and then as a director and associate superintendent in the Deer Valley Unified School District before I retired briefly for 2 days and became a professor, a clinical assistant professor for Arizona State University for the doc and master's students in educational leadership. And from there, I went on and became the executive director for NCA, North Central Accreditation, Advanced Ed, which does the international institution that accredits schools, K-12. And during that time frame, I become an expert in systems assessment and in continuous improvement. And those things have led me to be prepared to be on this governing board. And so, in addition, during the 20 years of that time, I was on three state-level boards with Arizona Interscholastic Association and Arizona School Administrators, as well as being on the Council for Advanced Ed. So,
why do you want to be on the Yavapai governing board? You're an incumbent. You were appointed, and now you're running again.
Right.
You're running for office. Why do you want to be on the board of Yavapai College?
Right.
Why is that important to you?
When I retired and we moved up here 2.5 years ago, then there was an opening on the board, and I was intrigued and encouraged to apply for it. And so I went through that interview process and then was appointed. I don't think I've ever been asked so many questions before just to get that position, which is a non-paying position. But I wanted to give back. And I know that sounds trite to some people, but I wanted to give back to education. And I have the time and energy and the expertise to do so. So that's why I got involved in the board. And I said when I interviewed for the position, they asked me if I would want to continue or would I run when the time was up. Mm-hmm. And I said yes, and I'm a person of my word, so I'm running. I've learned a lot. I've been listening a lot. I see that there are great things that the college is doing, but I also see lots of areas for improvement. And one of them is strengthening the presence of Yavapai College for the folks in the Verde Valley and Sedona.
That's a big issue with us. Can we, Paul Chevalier, tell us a little bit about yourself, why you want to run for the board. I know you've been involved deeply in Yavapai College in the representation from the Verde Valley. And I'll say, Connie, that's a big issue for us, is the representation and the participation of the college
issue
over here. Our show, yeah.
A very large issue when it comes to the amount of money that goes over there from these communities and what we're getting back.
It's a big issue for people in Sedona, for the city council and so forth, that there be a fair return for our investment in the college. So, Paul, without further ado, tell us a little bit about yourself, why you're running, and I know you've been involved in the college a long time in different ways.
Well, thanks first to Chasm for having me here. I really appreciate it, and to anybody that's listening, thank you for listening. Briefly, my background. I'm a veteran. I served in the United States Navy as an officer on sea duty during pretty scary times. That's a story for another day. I have degrees in government, law, and business from Columbia and Harvard universities. I spent 30 years in business and retired as one of the top 12 executives and the 7th largest retailer in the United States with 40,000 employees. I was also successful at law. I even took a case to the U.S. Supreme Court and won it 8-1. Since retirement 20 years ago, I've lived in Sedona, and I've been involved in many community activities there and through the Verde Valley. For example, I chaired the Sedona Arts and Culture Commission for 4 years, and the Sedona Community Foundation, where the year I chaired it, we raised $500,000 for money to give out to nonprofits in the Verde Valley. More recently, I was appointed to the Yavapai Community College Board Advisory Committee, The committee consisted of highly qualified individuals representing every town, city, and unincorporated area in the Verde Valley. Its task was to examine the Verde Valley educational needs. I was selected as chair of that committee. Our work was pretty relentless. We made at least 24 recommendations. We sought input from town and city councils, the county board of supervisors, the Yavapai Apache Nation, God bless them, and the school superintendents. We had town hall meetings, interviewed college officials, and unsuccessfully sought approval of a study of the feasibility of an administrative college. For almost 2 years of intensive, after 2 years of intensive effort, we were shut down by the West County members of the governing board before we complete our work. So why am I running? Because I want to complete that work. We found out all kinds of things that needed improvement. Our 24 recommendations, only one of which was approved by the board, and that was to keep the Sedona Center open. And we had a lot of help from the City Council of Sedona to do that.
You had a lot of help from the residents. I was at that meeting. There was over 70 people, 70 and 60 of them were really angry.
We had 93 people at the town hall you're talking about.
That's more than 70.
Which I sponsored, and 33 of them spoke, but it didn't matter. Like our 23 other recommendations we made to the board, we did it in writing, I did it in person. The board never discussed them. And after we made the last ones, the very day we made the last recommendations, without it being on the agenda, they decided to suspend the committee. So we're officially still a committee, but we haven't been allowed to meet in 2 years.
That would make less work for you. Explain, Paul, take a minute to explain what you mentioned, administrative college, and what would that mean? What would, when you talk about that, and then we will ask both of you to address the issue of an administrative college for the Verde Valley.
Yeah, the Maricopa County has 10 administrative colleges. They're all under one district. We're suggesting we have two here, still under the same district, the district governing board. The difference is, the way I'd like to see this done in this case, is that the money we pay here in taxes gets used for the benefit of the residents here. That doesn't mean it all gets used here, because you have some centralized administrative functions over in Phoenix, and obviously you pay your fair share.
Prescott.
I keep saying that.
It's okay.
Because I look at Prescott as being almost as far away as Phoenix, and I'm saying, if we're going to have everything over in Phoenix, why bother to have one at all? Save the tax money, and Prescott will just send the people down to Phoenix.
Amen.
But, you know, there was a study done. 2016, 2017, we determined that $22 million of the tax money for the college comes from the Verde Valley. Analysis of the financial statements that was done indicates that $9 million of that is spent here. $9 million. Now, administrative costs centralized might add a couple of million to that. But that means that half the money that we give is spent over in Prescott. And that's not right. I want to change that. I want to lower taxes. I want to get more equity over here. I don't want a penny of the money that is coming from the other side of the mountain to be spent over here. I just want us to be able to spend it. We need it for things like career technical education. There's a 100,000 square foot building over on the other side of the mountain. God bless them for having it for career technical education. They have 70% of the people over there. We have 30%. Over here, we have an 8,000 square foot building, which doesn't work very well. And it was paid for with federal funds, not even with their own funds. We need a 40,000 square foot building over here. There are people who found such a building right off of 17. We've been asking about it for 4 years. The city council asked about it for 4 years. And the answer we get back is the same we always get. We're studying it, which is another way of saying we don't want to spend your money over here because we can't spend it over there.
So, tell us what your position is. You heard Paul's been very, very involved in the campaign. And I think that everybody knows there's a division between the Verde Valley and the Prescott area. over representation and the spending of money. And that's what Paul's talking about. You've been on the board now for what, almost 2 years?
20 months, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Paul. I think.
But before I start, Connie, I got education's in a shambles in Arizona. You went to college, you went to community college, you went to a 2-year college in Arizona?
Yes.
Yeah. How much did the state support your college? Do you know?
Back in that day,
yeah.
It was supported.
50%, 80% of the budget?
Probably 50%.
Okay, how much of the budget does the state support now?
1%.
Say it slow.
1%.
So you're saying the state of Arizona supports Yavapai Community College financially to the tune of 1%.
1%.
How can a college survive like that? How can a college that gets $55 million budget and spends $9 million of it in a place where it collects $22 million of it?
Right. So.
Good morning.
Yes. First of all, there's three revenue streams that come in. One is from the state, which is pretty much not too much, as I just said.
Hard to call that a stream.
No, isn't it? Yeah. And student tuition, and then the other is the property taxes. Those are the primary ones, as well as being accredited. The college is eligible for funds, Pell Grants, and things like that for the students. But I concur with Paul on there needs to be more parity in the amount of money that is put onto this side, into the Verde Valley, and we need to move towards that. It's really critical because there are programs that need to be developed. One of those, a huge one, is what is now called career and technical education, and it's not a JTEDS anymore, they're CTEDS, but the career and technical education and CTE has got, we need to infuse a tremendous amount of investment to grow programs that help with the economy and give folks skills so that they might want to stay here and that are sustainable, that help the whole Verde Valley. So that is something that I personally want to work on and work towards. And part of that is built through partnerships with the school districts as well as with the, what was the JTED, which is the CTED here, because that will strengthen the opportunities for folks. So Yavapai College has now 20% online courses. People are walking with their feet, so to speak. So the building space is not as...
I want to hold on to that. Mm-hmm. Paul, do you want to talk about JTED?
No, I want to respond to something else. You know, it's nice to say we need to do something. Yeah. We had three people on the board before Connie: Al Filardo, Bob Oliphant, and Donna Michaels from this position. They all are supporting me, because they tried to do something. But the president of the college doesn't want to do anything more here than she has to appease the people. You know, we fought very hard, and I fought very far to get a culinary school here. We had a committee. I was part of that committee. The mayor of Sedona was part of the committee. We came up with a program that the ideas came from the best chefs, 4 kitchens so that we could teach chefs. We got an email from Dean Perry saying, there's going to be 2 kitchens, guys. And guess what? You can't teach chefs. You can only teach people to be line cooks, which gets paid minimum wage. Words, words, words. You can't just have words. I mean, I fought very hard with my committee. We made 24 recommendations, 23 unanimous. These were 7 people from 7 parts of the Verde Valley. I'd never met any of them before. We came up with unanimous recommendations. They were ignored. Words. What I'd like to know is what Connie herself has done to make something happen. Deb McCaslin, representing the other part of the Verde Valley, has fought very hard and been shut down by the 3 people from the other side of the mountain. What has Connie done to make changes in the 2 years she was there? What has she fought for?
During that time, I've spent a lot studying and listening, and I believe in the governance that respects and learns from the past, and I've been listening and learning from the past, and I think we need to look to the future and focus and be proactive. And so that's why I am pushing for the CTED money or the CTE money to be infused back here. I also think that it's good to have diverse perspectives on a board, but we also need to use the wisdom to work through conflict and work and walk through to come to common ground that helps us achieve outcomes that matter to the Verde Valley and to Sedona. And that comes from a governing board that is not divisive, but can work together to move things forward. So that's what I've been doing, is building relationships so that we can work as a unit to make these things happen, because they can happen, they should happen, and I believe they will happen, especially in the area of CTE. And you'll see me advocating for the budget more to be here.
We're talking to Connie Harris. Dr. Connie Harris is running for the Yavapai Governing Board. We have Paul Chevalier with us this morning. He's also running for the Yavapai Governing Board, and there's lots here. Paul, you got something to say, but I want you guys to think about, because certainly we thought about it here. We talked to Robert Oliphant on the show more than once.
Let's make sure that everybody understands that we're talking about the amount of technical education in the Verde Valley. There's Sedona may be a pretty wealthy town, but by the time you get down to Rimrock and Camp Verde, there's a lot of poverty. And the young people and older people need to be trained in skilled labor, or they're going to be stuck for the rest of their lives at minimum wage. So there's a lot at stake for the people of the Verde Valley here.
Well, and wealth or no wealth, you want to get that kid out of your basement playing games, he's got to get a job, hopefully as a chef. Some line cooks are some of my favorite people. But it would be really
never diss the line chef.
Never diss exactly. anyway, pause. Let's talk some more about. You have some response.
I like Connie very much. I think she's a fine lady, but I think she's being blindsided by the other side of the mountain. Let me give you a couple of examples. 18 months ago, Dean Perry came before the Sedona City Council, and they said, we need CTE. Over here, we really need CTE, and he says we're studying it. He came before the city council a month ago. They said, well, what happened to the study that you were doing 18 months ago? And he said, we're studying it. They're not studying it. You're being blindsided. There is absolutely no intent on the part of the president of the college, who runs the show, because basically all the governance that could legally be given by the board to the president has been given. That's why they didn't deal with our 23 recommendations, because they had given away the control to the president. So they didn't know what to do with our recommendations.
Who was president at the time?
Dr. Wills, the same president we have now, the same president we've had for 6 years.
We interviewed her a few years ago.
Wills. Yeah, she showed up once. There seems to be a plethora of vice presidents and other admin people. So who's Dean Perry?
Dean Perry is the executive dean over here on this side of the mountain. He doesn't live on this side of the mountain, but he's the dean over in for Clarkdale and Sedona. Very nice fellow.
Sure.
Has no real power. The president has all the power.
I see.
The three people from the other side of the board like what the president's doing, like the fact they only have to meet 9 months a year, once a month, plus maybe a couple of other times when they have retreats. Don't have to do anything.
So if I understand the difference between you, the different perspective, is Paul's more confrontational. You believe that you have to do some confrontation in order to get change.
No.
And Connie believes that you can do
that's
it by
fair.
Building relationships.
No, that's not fair.
No, that's not right.
Not fair.
The committee that I chaired, seven diverse people from different parts of the Verde Valley, people like Randy Garrison, who's now on our board of supervisors, and who is strongly supporting me. So is Tom Thurman, who's the supervisor from the other district of the Verde Valley.
These are Yavapai County supervisors.
Yeah. So is the head of the Yavapai Apache Nation, who is supporting me. And I could go on and on and on. We worked with these seven people, strong people, all leaders, and we reached unanimous recommendations in 23 out of 24 cases. And the 24th, the guy said, well, I agree with everything you said, but you didn't go far enough. So I know how to work with people with diverse backgrounds. I do not know how to work with people who aren't willing to do anything other than let the president run the show, and the president has a totally closed mind to the Verde Valley. I want to change that. Now, let me tell you one other thing about presidents. What we have going on now is in December, 1 month before the new board takes office, the old board, whether the people win or lose, intend to pick the new president. They won't let us, 1 month later, pick the new president. The argument is, well, we've had a committee working on this of civilians. We'd listen to the same committee. That committee's not going to go away. We respect the work we're doing. But they are going to try to keep control of this by picking a president when they don't even know what the president's job will be. Because if I get elected and the guy running in Prescott gets elected, we will have a majority that will change things, which will make things equitable for everybody in the Verde Valley, which will focus on the various costs that are out there. The costs are outrageous right now. We have a performing arts center of 1,200 people over in Prescott, which is for the benefit of the people who live in Prescott, not the students. We have tennis courts that cost $1 million to build, which is for the benefit of the racquet club in Prescott, not the students. We don't have, you know, a tennis team. Deb McCaslin's been fighting that over the last 2 years. But Connie, I haven't heard you fighting that.
I'm going to give Connie a chance to talk in a minute, but I do want to talk about an economic engine that a community college. We have 15 counties in Arizona. As Paul mentioned, we have 10 community. Connie attended one of them, as did I, by the way, in the Valley of the Sun, Glendale Community College. She attended other community college. They are economic engines for the communities they are in, especially in rural Arizona. If you take any of the rural community colleges, and so it's another follow the money thing. This is not a newsflash, folks, here on Democratic Perspective. Community College, the Prescott on their side of the mountain wants to keep that economic engine, as Paul just mentioned, the facilities, programs working on the Prescott side that don't exist. And now I have to add, we've having to frame this argument even more succinctly, we've had Bob Oliphant on the show. We've had Ruth Wicks on the show. We had Penny Wills on the show. We had a couple of her vice presidents on the show. That it's intentional. That this is an intentional consolidation of resources in Prescott, even though the Verde Valley, as Paul mentioned, as you mentioned, provide an awful lot of the financial support for this community college. One of the answers you both have, we've covered lightly this morning, was to form our own administrative district. We have models for this all over the state. We have models in the biggest college district in the state, and this is important. If Yavapai County formed its own administrative district, as they do in Maricopa County, some of the colleges I mentioned, Phoenix College, Glendale College, Paradise Valley, all those wonderful colleges, they have their separate administrative districts. They have the budgets that are formed different ways. But we want to talk to Connie about...
It is absolute time
to invest
that money. And it is the economic engine, is the needs of the area. And so I think the study that Paul's referring to is the one that came out this summer, and APS helped sponsor it on six different clusters for job areas. And the college supports on this side five out of six of those. The one area that it's not yet, and it probably is one of the areas that needs to be developed as we move forward, is that of advanced manufacturing. But the main areas that are growing real rapidly, and part of that's due to the changing demographics for sure, we have more folks, we're an aging population here, and we have less youngsters coming in. But we do have that bubble of teenagers and below coming in and linking that into the CTE programs. And so besides that, we need to be looking ahead in job areas such as cybersecurity with drones. Those type of things can be added on this side. Right now, there are 20 programs, CTE programs here in the Verde Valley. And so, but I think we can be more intentional and make sure that we're supporting what needs to happen. One that is, wasn't in that cluster, but because there's a need here, and that is the construction trades. That didn't make it in the top 10, so to speak, but it is a need here. And so in response to that, there's a construction program that started in August at Chino Valley. And
Chino Valley.
And the other one is starting here in the spring,
Because it does seem to this
listener,
Yavapai College user, patently insane not to have a construction ed program in the Verde Valley.
Right. It's growing by leaps and bounds.
Sedona. Wow. Construction's very important here. It's a major industry.
Absolutely.
I worked at the college from 1996 to 2013, and I with a couple of semesters off for good behavior. The idea is this. The in 2003, 2004, 2007, the numbers, we had numbers equal to Prescott. So when it comes to Sedona High School students, when it comes to Mingus High School students, when it comes to Camp Verde High School students going to Yavapai College, there's no fewer in 2018 than there was in 2005. So I don't know. I have no answer where those students are, but I know that when things were running as that, when the administration was located over here, when there was programs over here, we had the numbers over here. It's for my purpose, it's intentional.
Well, let me give you some detail on that. You know, a dozen years ago, we had 30% of the population. We paid 30% of the cost for the college, and we had 30% of the students. Then they decide a couple of years after that, well, we've got these 40-year-old temporary buildings. We're going to rebuild them. Great idea. Except they only built in half as many classrooms. They got rid of a bunch of teachers, and they came back, and they had 14% of the students. We're now up to, I think, about 17%, but still paying 30% of the cost. This is all done intentionally. Let me talk about CTE. If I'm elected, the guy on the other side of the mountain is elected, I will push very hard that within, by the end of next year, we will have bought a building over here around 40,000 square feet. We've already located one.
That's great.
And we will start construction on it for CTE. We know what kind of classes. This stuff has been studied. We don't need any more studies. The study thing is just a plain excuse. I grew up in business. You don't survive in business if you don't take action. Academia, they can just keep taxing us to death like they've been doing. You don't work that way in business.
We do want to talk that we have Paul Chevalier and Connie Harris running for the school board this morning. They do come from different backgrounds in some ways. Connie came out of education. Paul came out of business and law. And they're both looking for seats on the Yavapai board. Obviously, this is a partisan show. It's called Democratic Perspective. As a part-time employee for the college, I guess I had a dog in the fight. But even without working for the college, like I said, I worked part time. For me, it was a pleasure to be able to work with students.
For us, we started on talking about Yavapai College when we heard that they were closing down the whole Sedona facility, and Mike took me over to Yavapai College in Clarkdale, and it's a beautiful little
it's a beautiful little
college.
Walk through there anytime.
It's just wonderful. We didn't find any students.
That's it. You can walk through
that
there.
That was kind of
you can walk through there and not see another soul. It's like a private garden.
That's what's sort of sad. This beautiful little college, and yet so few students. Now, this is a few years back. I don't know what's happened. Is enrollment up at all, or is it still? I mean, they had a really active program in wine production and so forth.
The viticulture and enology has just mushroomed, absolutely, as well as the culinary and hospitality here. And Chef Roberts, who's new this year, is embedding or infusing those two programs to work together so that folks who start out on the line can get some business savvy sense in the hospitality side and give them other tracks to work on. So that's a real positive thing. But boy, have we had tremendous growth and request for online learning. And so that 20% now aren't sitting in the classrooms. They, per se, they're doing online courses. And 40% of the students who are attending take one or more courses online. So that's why you don't see quite as many people there. And the biggest growth for us in this valley has been in the non-credit courses and in OLLI courses and the adventure and study, because that's the population that's signing up for courses.
So you're saying Yavapai College offers non-credit courses like a senior college?
Kinds of non-credit. Jewelry making and so forth and so on. You can take a whole lot of PE courses. You can take a whole lot of courses that are not for credit. They're for older adults.
Well, they're not. Let me say something in here, too. You know, sure, we're getting more online courses because we don't have the other kind of courses. We don't have the classroom courses. Let's talk about culinary. Culinary does two things right now, and they do those well. They teach kids in high school. That's great. They're teaching people to be line chefs. That's great. But they're not teaching people to be chefs. As far as viticulture, yeah, I give credit to the college for that. But they want to expand it. They got 14 acres now that they have, that they're growing grapes. They want to do 40, and the land is there. College has said no. If they get the 40, they're going to actually make a profit for the college. Let me say one other thing. There are 22 community colleges here. Here's the list.
Yeah.
Guess what's not on the list? Clarkdale. We don't even count as a community college.
Oh.
But all these places that are in Maricopa County, they're in here. Yavapai College in Prescott is third on this list. Sometimes they're second. God bless them. I don't want to hurt Yavapai College for the educational thing. I am concerned about spending money on the non-educational things if they don't have the money from the other side of the mountain to spend it. I don't want to spend our money. We're not even on the list. We don't even count as a community college.
No, you don't.
That's terrible. Here's the list, 22. I know you said it's 10, Connie, but here's the list. It's 22.
You're a satellite
Connie,
camp.
Let's give Connie a chance to reply.
Well, we want to say, Verde, just to clear up Paul's thing, Verde Yavapai College in Sedona is a satellite campus of Prescott. Verde Valley Campus in Clarkdale is a satellite campus of Prescott. They're not on Paul's list because they are simply satellite camp. They don't qualify as colleges on their own. As Paul, I would like to see an administrative campus. Connie, take it away.
Right. There's two full-service campuses, but it's under one umbrella, which is Prescott College. So, and there's one of them is the Verde Valley campus. And then there's the four centers, which the Sedona Center of the Culinary Arts is here. And it's also, there's four remote learning sites in partnership with libraries in Ash Fork and in Yarnell and Camp Verde.
We've got 2 minutes left. Let's give you each a minute to wrap up. Let's start with Paul and we'll end with you, Connie.
Okay, I have five top goals. Significantly increase access to educational opportunities for all Verde Valley residents. Ensure that for the first time in 50 years, the Verde Valley and all rural areas in Yavapai County receive equitable distributions of educational resources. Lower taxes for all Yavapai County property owners. I haven't heard Connie speak about taxes. Lower tuition for Yavapai County residents, and Connie voted to increase it. Substantially increase job skills training that leads to well-paid jobs.
Connie.
And thank you for letting us be here. And so I did not support an increase in property taxes, but I did on the students as far as tuition, because they're the ones that are using it, and I knew that we had Pell Grants and scholarships to help support those who need, because I also believe in educating all students.
Meager these days, much less than in your day.
And I support the investment in CTE and now. And the financial parity, I think, is critical. I agree with Paul in regards to that. I don't know if it's going to be totally equitable, but I think there needs to be more parity and needs to be appropriate.
We want to talk about that fact that we talked about a lot today, and this and all our shows are on vvid.org. You can hear the podcasts for this show on vvid.org. We want to thank you. Democratic Perspective can be found on tunein.org and at Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org, VVID.org.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.